This is Anthony Anarino with the Sales Blog, and I am talking to Mike. Let me make sure I pronounce it right. Is it Sabin?
It is, yes.
With Dun & Bradstreet, and you are a senior vice president. Is that right?
That's correct, leading our sales and marketing business.
Okay, it's good to have you here, Mike. Thanks for joining me.
And yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I think you and I share a certain concern and have been maybe brought together by an idea that's circulating on the internet and it's getting a lot of traction. And this is this idea that sales is changing so dramatically that the profession of sales as we know it is no longer going to exist. And as proof positive of that line of thinking, my friend Jonathan Farrington from London, England has a post at the jfblogit.co.uk today saying professional selling will soon be survival of the fittest. And what he says is within 5 years, just 5% of external salespeople will remain. And I know Gerhard from Selling Power has said the same thing. We're going to go from 18 million salespeople to 3 million salespeople in the coming years. What are your thoughts about that? And what's your view of that from where you sit?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty broad statement given the various manifestations of a salesperson, right? So if that comment is being made about, you know, the old school telecenter calling consumers looking to sell transactional solutions or products to consumers, then yes, I think with the advent of social media, obviously the proliferation of e-commerce, I think a lot of that's going away. If it's a broader comment, I disagree, especially in the B2B space where you start talking about more strategic and sizable relationships. I think the reality is that if someone's making a significant investment, today it's still a person buying from a person. I don't envision that changing materially over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. I think how people sell will absolutely change and evolve, but I believe in that space, you're still going to need to build relationships and manage strategic accounts in a strategic manner. And so I think that there still absolutely will be a need for good salespeople.
Yeah, I'm skeptical when I hear numbers that are as dramatic as the numbers that are thrown about, like 18 million to 3 million. That's 15 million people going to be displaced. And I agree with you. If you call the salespeople at a Barnes & Noble salespeople, then yes, I agree. There's not enough value creation for those jobs to exist, and they're being disintermediated by the internet, and lots of other low-value transactional sales roles are disappearing. But when I look at things like Manpower's survey of the greatest demand for hiring right now, number one on the list are trades, and that's because most of us don't work with our hands anymore. But number two on that list, and it has been number one or two on that list for the last 8 years, has been salespeople. And what I think this shift is, and maybe we can riff on this for just a minute, I think this shift is away from low value creation to higher levels of value creation. So when you're talking about a multi-million dollar purchase, you're talking about a strategic decision, a complex sale where there's a ton of value to be created, I actually think that the demand for salespeople with that skill set will likely increase over time as it becomes more competitive and harder to differentiate. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think, to your point, when you talk about transactions of that size, it's going to require absolutely a relationship, and it's actually going to require more skill as we move into the future because there is also an advent of greater information accessibility. And that's allowing buyers insight into more information, which is good and bad. Sometimes it can be an overwhelming amount of information, which makes the decision difficult or could lead to inertia. And so I think in that scenario, building, establishing, and managing relationships and leveraging new tools to get to the sale are going to be important. But the core facet of it is still going to be a good salesperson out there building the relationship and ultimately cementing the partnership.
It's interesting how much this idea of the internet and this access to information has changed how salespeople think and how we talk about it. And what's interesting to me is that when I talk to people that buy and I say, now, are you going out and looking and searching on the internet? They're heads down, buried in their work. They're not really out doing a great deal of research on the things that they purchase, and especially things they don't purchase frequently. And what I hear them say is, look, we're expecting you as a salesperson to know how you help me. We're expecting you to know how to see around corners for us. You're supposed to know what's going next. And by the way, you work with a whole bunch of companies like us. You should have some ideas that you come in and share with us before we have to call you and tell you that we're researching something. And I think that this hurdle, and we've always wanted to call ourselves a consultative or a trusted advisor. And I think now we're hearing from customers, well, if you want to be that, well, be that. And that means you're supposed to do the research for me. You're supposed to understand my business, and you're supposed to be using the tools so that you're bringing me things proactively. Do you have thoughts or comments on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in a couple of regards. So first, I think that same massive amount of data impacts the sales professional as much as the customer or buyer. And so what we're seeing is a trend towards providing that insight in a more concise and unified way to salespeople. And so in our business, we provide a great deal of information on businesses to salespeople, and more the demand is put it in my workflow and consolidate information from a variety of sources to really give me the information I need to go and be that consultative subject matter expert with my customers. And so that means understanding the industry and having information on what's going on in the industry, understanding how that customer is performing and behaving today, and then being able to link that to the real problems they face and demonstrate the value that whatever solution the salesperson is bringing can deliver.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. And you sit in an interesting position at D&B. And of course, most of us in sales know you guys for a couple reasons. One, because the sales prevention department always sends in a credit request to you guys to make sure that we're okay. And sure. Then on the other side, there's Hoover's, you know, which all of us are familiar with. And you guys are nice enough to have free days at Hoover's all the time, which I promote on Twitter every time that you guys do it. And typically
Great.
Sponsored
well, thank
you. By UPS. But tell me about what are you hearing from salespeople and sales forces about what they need from you? And you've always been a leader in providing this information, but and I sound like a paid ad. I'm not a paid ad for D&B or Hoover's at all. But tell me what you're hearing from sales forces about what they need from you in providing the information that you provide and how that's helping them make sales.
Yeah, so I'll talk about it in three buckets. I'll talk about the integration, I'll talk about the data itself, and then I'll talk about features and functionality. So from an integration standpoint, being able to leverage and access the content in the workflow that the user chooses. And so for a lot of people, that's going to hoovers.com, and that's great, and we love that. For others who may want to operate in a different workflow, being able to provide our data into that solution of choice so that they still get access to the insight they're looking for. So from a data perspective, we're seeing an evolution. You know, it used to be good enough in the old days to just get a company name, address, and the main line, right? And then people would either go there, drop something in the mail to that company, or just start dialing in and try and work their way through the switchboard to the right person. That then evolved to getting smarter around which companies to actually target and which ways to target them. To your point, some of that may be, listen, if it's a bad credit risk and we're never going to do business with them anyhow, I'm not going to bother even placing the call. I'll just cut them out of my prospect or customer list. And that's evolving now to understanding the actual buyer at the organization. So it's one thing to know about the company you want to sell to or have a current relationship with. It's another to have insight into the actual buyers and decision makers there. And so more and more people are looking for that level of information as well on organizations. And then I'd say the last component is being able to, from a data lens, being able to articulate other mechanisms to understand and put in context that potential customer or existing customer. And so that may be social media tools like Twitter and Facebook, and what are they saying out there and what are they talking about. It could be blogs, if they're writing their own blogs, and understanding that. Clearly news feeds, you know, what's going on in the broader industry and what's going on specifically with that company. So we're seeing that from a data lens. And then the last piece in terms of features and functionality, it's really, that's great that there's all this data and there's more we'd like to see, but I need it in a way that's actionable and that allows me to really focus in on the piece that's most important or timely. So as an example, if one of your customers just made an acquisition, you want to know about that right away. If they've got, if you sell into the IT department and the CIO just left the organization, that's information you want right away. And so being able to prioritize those pieces of information and serve them up as alerts such that an individual can take action is sort of the last piece of the puzzle in terms of the feedback we're getting and requests we're seeing.
Yeah, and so it's give me something that I can actually do something with today. And so this is some actionable intelligence. And when you talk about integration, you're talking about integrating it into my SFA, right?
Yeah, it could be SFA. So as an example, we have a product that directly integrates with some of the primary CRM platforms so that rather than going out to three or four different browsers and having all of them open and toggling back and forth, the information that you're looking to capture can be served up directly in that application so that you're not jumping around and you can be a little more efficient.
Sure. And that makes sense. Tell me, do you have anything you can share about what salespeople say from using what you guys provide? And just generally, as this shift is occurring and we're being asked to bring more insight to bear on these, what are they finding particularly helpful? Is it, I know that we've got a big drive towards social selling and social media. And I see that there are some industries that tend to be very engaged, but for a lot of us, the industries that we're calling on, they're not tremendously engaged in social media. What other sources of data seem to be most useful for salespeople in creating the business case and working with the prospects that they call on?
Yeah, I'd say it's I'll start broad and go more narrow. So broadly speaking, really providing information that allows someone to better understand an industry, what's going on in the industry and the various trends. And then within that, being able to compare and contrast what a given company may look like and how it's performing versus its competitors and understanding what the competitors are doing. So that'll provide the context and the foundation to go and have a meaningful conversation with a customer about what they do, what their competitors are doing, and getting back to your point about being a trusted advisor, being able to demonstrate knowledge of their world and their problems. From that, then, being able to understand specifically about the company, how it's performing and who the key players are. You know, I'd say one of the things that's still a somewhat untapped concept that I know a couple people play in the space, but that we hear a lot about is, if you could give me an org chart for that company, that would be awesome, right? And again, there's some people who are playing in that space and working on it. I think there's still opportunity there to actually provide more insight to salespeople. And then on the social side, which you asked about, I'd say it's still being figured out. So people want it to hear what's going on and what's being said about their customers and their customers' competitors. How to truly distill that and make it more actionable, I think, is still a work in progress for a couple of reasons. One, there are a whole lot of industries that aren't really playing there yet, as you just mentioned. Second, for those that are, being able to distill down to really the actionable chunks, given the volume of data that's going through the social media tools today, is so great, it's still a challenge.
You know, it's interesting to me. I think that we want salespeople to behave in a certain way. And a couple things that you said resonate with me. This idea of understanding where my customer lives. So I want to understand their business and their world. And so I'm looking at them and I'm looking at their competitors and I'm reading RSS feeds and I'm looking just so that I get this just general understanding of what their challenges are, what their opportunities are, what's having an impact on them. And then I'm also taking a look at the customer as it compares to its competitors and its place. And I'm looking for other additional insights. And I think for salespeople, if we want to have business acumen and we want to have credibility, you've got to do some work. And knowing enough about your customer and their business and their space, I think helps give you this firm foundation to stand on when you walk in. So you're reasonably prepared as a value creator to think about and talk about how you help them get business results. And I think in my mind that precedes social. And social, we can get into preferences and how do we open up relationships. And I think that's important too. But before you even get to opening that relationship, some of this homework needs to be done. And for most of us, even though the tools exist, we probably don't spend enough time or effort getting that credibility so that we can have the level of conversation we want to have. That resonates with me. Another thing that I'm big on is a stakeholder analysis. So the org chart thing resonates. And I think with the right set of tools, one thing that we need is the ability to identify the org chart. Because what my view is that decisions are being made more and more by consensus. And we know that our buyers expect us to help them build that consensus. And we really need to help assemble that team. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's somewhat related, and you said something else that just triggered a thought of a request I've heard a few times recently, which is if there were a way to understand contracting authority or purchase behavior, if you will, right? So over the course of time as a company, D&B has compiled a great deal of trade information. So we know companies who are doing business with companies. That allows us to evaluate and assess credit risk based upon how someone pays their bills and manages their financial stability. From a sales perspective, the request has been, well, can you tell me who's actually signing, right? Tell me who's actually signing those forms so I can better understand who I need to bring in. And if it is someone other than the person I'm talking to, helps give me some insight into the collaboration and consensus that needs to take place within my customer so I can help facilitate that. So it's a request. It's something people clearly want. I don't yet see the path to be able to make that available and provide that to salespeople, but I certainly see the value if someone's able to crack the code on it.
Are you saying, though, that you have access to some of that information?
We don't have signature level access. No, we don't. No.
Your phone line was about to blow up if you did.
No, I wish it was.
It's an interesting point because I think that even though decisions are being made by consensus, there is still somebody that has authority and there is still somebody that signs, and we still need to know who that person is. And it's tougher and tougher, I think, to tell that even when you ask for it outright, as there are so many people involved in a complex decision. So we're at about, we're longer than we probably should be for a recorded podcast. But let me ask you, if you wouldn't mind sharing any information that you want to share with how anybody listening to this could contact you or where you'd want them to go for more information. Again, this is no paid advertisement for D&B.
Sure.
I am a fan of Hoover's, and if there is a way that Mike and his group can help you, if you wouldn't mind providing that here, Mike, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, anyone's always welcome to just go to dnb.com, and then there are tools there to reach out and have someone contact you and provide you information. I can also make myself available should anyone want to contact me directly. So my email address is sabinm@dnb.com.
Mike, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I like learning more about you guys. I'm a fan of Hoover's and what you guys have done and D&B. And I appreciate you taking time to share your thoughts and your insights with us.
Sure. I enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you.